turkey there that was ran about 3 pounds, and he had it, it was such a pretty fish, he had it stuffed and put on the wall. And I said, "You didn't catch Fat Albert, did you?" He says, "Fat Albert?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "You mean that great big one?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "I saw it." He says, "You're the guy that's named all the fish up there."
Yeah.
He said, "You're the old guy that's named all the fish up here." I said, "Yeah, well, I guess I have, probably."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "We also have some other..."
Not just the fish, either.
Not just the fish. We have some other life up here that I talk to frequently.
Mm-hmm.
There are two pair of Canadian geese that lay their eggs down in this particular part of the pond every year, and they'll have a litter and a whole covey of them, and there's Goosey and Lucy.
Goosey and Lucy, yep.
And I talk to them, too.
Of course.
When they come in, and they'll come out close enough, but they won't get too close. No, not when they have the kids. And then we have my favorite, is the muskrat.
Mm-hmm.
And his house is one of the areas that I have to walk around to get where I go to fish, where all the good fish are, or a lot of them are. And he comes out, and he can smell my waders.
Mm.
They can smell, just like fish can smell. And he takes a turn around me just to say, "Okay, I know you're here, and I know who you are. Enjoy the day," and he goes back into his hole. And I don't see him again that day. Usually I don't see him again that day. And
your friend Muskie. Yep.
I don't, since then, I think about him and I hope he had a good life because I haven't been back.
Mm-hmm.
But I had more fun fishing for him.
Yep.
Fishing doesn't necessarily mean catching.
Yep, it's the journey.
And it's the journey. It's beautiful country. The weather could be... I fished when the snow was so biting cold that I could hardly hold a rod. And a newspaper man drove by and took my picture out. And I said, "Then the snow started." But I never could get it. I don't know what happened. Huh. I never could get it. But one day I was fishing there and a trucker stopped. He was hauling a load of oil pipes over the hill to the west slope. Mm-hmm. Well, this elevation at the pond is 9,400 feet.
That's pretty high.
So he has another climb to go over Vail Pass. And he stopped and wondered what I was doing. And I said, "Well, I'm fishing."
It looks like I'm fishing, yeah.
What do you think I'm doing? Riding a bicycle?
Yeah.
No. I told him, "I was fishing. What for?" "Brook trout." Well, he didn't know anything about brook trout. He was from Texas.
Hmm.
And I says, "Well, hold on a minute, and I'll show you one." So I cast out. I cast out to a patch of ice that was out there, put the fly on it, and dragged it off the ice, and let it settle a little bit, and a couple of yanks, and boom, I had a 10 or 11-inch male brook trout in full color.
Wow.
Pulled it in and say, "That is a brook trout."
Yeah.
"Oh, that's a beautiful fish." I said, "Yes, it is, isn't it?"
Mm-hmm.
And I let him go. I didn't think anything more of it. I just kept right on fishing.
Mm-hmm.
The following year, I was there in the same spot doing the same thing. The truck pulled up carrying oil pipes, and it was the same guy that came out. And he says, "Are you still here?"
I never left.
And I says, "Are you making another run?" He says, "Yeah." Well, I come to find out that my wife's sister's husband was a trucker that hauled oil pipes over the hill there and saw me and talked to me at the pond. He didn't know me, I didn't know him, and
isn't that funny?
Apparently that was who it was.
That's amazing.
But that was my favorite pond. There was some on the other side of the highway. I know there was a brown trout in there that ran 6 pounds.
Mm.
I've got a picture of it.
How big do you think Fat Albert was? Or still is?
He was probably a good 5 pounds.
Wow.
He was a big fish.
Yeah. How long would he be?
Probably 30.
Really?
Probably about 30 inches. He'd be about that.
Yeah, it's a good-sized fish.
18, 30 inches. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Fish.
Yeah.
right.
And they, across the way, they're brown trout and rainbow trout. There are no brookies.
Mm.
And it's fed by a stream on the other side of the highway. And the people, the brown trout, come up from the reservoir down below and spawn on that side of the creek. And they will get under a, go through beaver trails underneath a bicycle path and get into the ponds. And then when the water drops down after high water, they can't get back
out. They're stuck, yeah.
So those big brown trout are stuck in there.
Huh.
And they are big.
Yeah.
Just a little more to that story is I saw that one with my granddaughter. She said, look, that's a big fish. And I said, it's not, it's a log. Well, that log had a tail and was moving slowly right along the top, but it was too far out for me to get to it.
Wow.
That was Deandra.
Deandra saw that big fish. Huh.
She saw it. So I decided I was going to go back the next night, camp overnight, and try to fish for them at night, because they like to eat at night and throw some mice or something out there for them to try to get.
Mm.
That didn't work. I was evicted from the pond.
Uh-oh.
I had to walk on a beaver hut to get to one side of the little island to get into my float tube, and I did, and I must have kept the beaver mad at me, because I'm out in the middle of the pond, and he come roaring across the pond to me and slapped his tail on the ground, on the water, and then dove, and I didn't know where he went, but I kind of kept my eye open. I saw him go in into the a little cove up behind me, and I just kept fishing where I was going. And the next thing I know, he surfaced again in front of me, came full bore, and it was a big beaver, and he slapped his tail about 2 feet from the float tube, got me wet, and then he dove, and I didn't want to stick around anymore. I think he was mad enough at me to try and take me out.
Take a bite out of you.
Take a bite out of me, so I went back. I got out, and I said, you're going to have your pond.
Gotta go. Nice pond. See you later.
Yep, that was it. I haven't done much fishing over there since then.
Yeah.
It was a good, fine place to fish.
Yeah, and sounds like a great
people
place.
Didn't realize it, and they didn't fish there very often. Mm-hmm. Those that did would fish on a weekend, and they would usually sit on the bank and throw worms at it and catch some of the little brookies, but they didn't know how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Or they weren't.
You got the weekday good fish, quiet
and once in a while somebody would be at Copper Mountain and playing golf at their golf course and have a grandson that says, you want to go fishing, and bring him down to the pond and fish, and I see him and I go over and talk to him, and I usually end up saying or giving him some flies and say, here, try these, because this is what I catch my fish on.
Nice.
And I usually carry an extra set, and I carry a lot of flies, but
can't
imagine.
You got some flies.
I don't hide my sources and everything like that. I've taught both my grandkids how to fly fish and how to tie flies.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had a good time doing it over the years.
Yeah.
They're grown up now, and I don't know how many more years I'll get a chance to do it, but
as much as you can.
If not them, maybe some other kid.
Yep, much as you can.
But that's the story of me and Fat Albert.
All right. Well, thanks, Ted.
You're a gorgeous fish, and I'm glad I had the honor to at least turn him over.
Yeah, that's good. And he said, see you later.
Yep.
Have a good life, Ted Mullen. It's been good knowing you. All right.
Well, yes, I'll try to leave my mark one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ted. We're saying goodbye.